This is Daily Orthodox Scriptures with Father Alexis Corey from St. Philip Orthodox Church in Davie, Florida. Join us daily on the journey.
Welcome to the Daily Orthodox Scriptures 2020 and today 250 of our journey through the Bible. We are reading through the Scriptures in 1 year using the Orthodox Study Bible. I'm Father Alexis and today is September 7. Our readings today will be from the Wisdom of Solomon chapter 15 verse 1 through chapter 16 verse 14. Psalm 60, Proverbs chapter 12, verses 16 through 20, and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 35 through 58. After examining the trouble we get into when we choose a path away from God, today we will read how God's mercy is a blessing to those willing to receive it. Yet those who choose other gods reject His mercy. Let's begin. The Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 15, verse 1, through chapter 16, verse 14. But you, our God, are kind, true, patient, and govern all things in mercy. For even if we sin, we belong to you and know your might. But we will not sin, because we know that we are counted as belonging to you. For to know you is complete righteousness, and to know your might is the root of immortality. For neither have the evil practices of human art deceived us, nor a form stained with diverse colors, the barren labor of painting, whose appearance creates a desire in fools that longs for the lifeless form of a dead image. Lovers of evil things and fit for such objects of hope are those who either make or desire or worship them. For even when a potter compresses soft earth, he laboriously forms each vessel for our service, but he models from the same clay both vessels that serve clean uses and likewise those to the contrary. But what will be the function of one or the other is the decision of the craftsman. So working evil, he forms a worthless god from the same clay. He who a little while before was made from the earth, and in a short while returns to the earth from which he was taken, when the soul that was loaned to him is demanded in return at death. But he is not concerned that he is about to be sick, or that his life will be ending shortly. So he competes with goldsmiths and melters of silver, and imitates bronze workers. And he considers it a glory that he forms false gods. His heart is ashes, and his hope as cheap as dirt. And his life is more dishonored than his clay, because he disregards the one who formed him, and who inspired him with an operative soul, and breathed into him a life-giving spirit. But he considered our life to be a plaything, and life a festival held for profit. For he says, one must make a living however one can, even by evil means. For this man, more than all others, knows that he sins when he fabricates from earthly matter easily broken vessels and carved images. Yet more foolish and infantile are the enemies who oppressed your people, because they thought that all the idols of the nations were gods, though these have neither the use of their eyes for vision, nor noses for inhaling air, nor ears to hear with, nor fingers on their hands for touching, and their feet are useless for walking, for a man made them, and he whose spirit is borrowed formed them. For no man can form a god like himself. A man who works a dead thing with lawless hands is mortal, for he is better than his objects of worship, because he is alive, but they never are. The enemies of your people worship the most hateful animals, for they are worse than all others in stupidity. Not even as animals are they so beautiful in appearance that one would desire them, but they escaped both the praise of God and his blessing. Therefore, they were worthily punished through creatures like these, and were tormented through a multitude of wild animals. Instead of such punishment, you showed kindness to your people and prepared quails as food with a delicious taste to satisfy their hunger, that those men, when they desired food, might turn away their necessary hunger because of the ugly look of the creatures sent upon them, while your people, being in need for a brief period, might partake of food with a delicious taste. For it was necessary for those enemies that unavoidable need come upon them and tyrannize them, while to your people it was only shown how their enemies were being tormented. For even when the terrible rage of wild animals came upon your people, and they were being destroyed by the bites of twisting serpents, your wrath did not continue to the end. They were troubled for a short while as a warning, and received a pledge of salvation, in remembrance of your law's command. For the one who turned to it was saved, not by what he saw, but by you, the Savior of all. So in this you persuaded our enemies, that you are the one who saves from every evil. For the bites of locusts and flies killed them, and no healing was found for their life, because they deserve to be punished by such things. But the teeth of poisonous serpents did not overcome your children, for your mercy came to their aid and healed them. For they were goaded to remind them of your oracles and were quickly saved, lest they should fall into deep forgetfulness and be continually unmindful of your kindness. For neither herb nor medicinal plaster healed them, but it was your word, O Lord, which heals all men. For you have authority over life and death, and bring men down to the gates of Hades and lead them back again. A man in his malice kills another, but he cannot bring back a departed spirit, nor return a soul that is taken.
Psalm 60. Hear my supplication, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I cried out to you. When my heart was discouraged, you lifted me high on a rock. You guided me, for you became my hope, a tower of strength from the face of the enemy. I will dwell in your tabernacle unto the ages. I will be covered with the shelter of your wings. For you, O God, hear my prayers. You give an inheritance to those who fear your name. You will add days to the days of the king, his years as the days of generation to generation. He will abide before God forever. Who will seek out his mercy and truth? So I will sing praise to your name unto ages of ages, that I may pay my vows day to day. Proverbs chapter 12, verses 16 through 20. By the fruits of his mouth the soul of a man will be filled with good things, and the recompense of his lips will be given to him. The ways of undiscerning men are right in their own eyes, but a wise man hearkens to counsels. A man without discernment immediately proclaims his wrath, but an astute man hides his own dishonor. A righteous man declares his honesty openly, but the witness of the unrighteous is deceitful. There are those who wound with a sword as they speak, but the tongues of the wise heal.
1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 35 through 58. But someone will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. St. Paul speaks about the resurrection and how we can participate in it. Quoting Genesis, he writes, the first man, Adam, became a living being. And then he continues, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. The first man that he's speaking of is Adam. The last Adam is Christ. As the descendants of Adam and Eve, we have the nature of Adam and Eve. It is a fallen nature. Christ came so that we could be grafted onto him, that by grace our nature would change. And this is what we mean in the baptism service when we quote St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We have put on his divine nature. It is what St. Peter means in his second epistle when he says that we are partakers of the divine nature. It's what St. Athanasius meant when he said that God became man so that man might become God. In Christ we have taken on, by grace, the divine nature. And so our resurrection is actually Christ's resurrection. He's the bus, and we are hopping on for the journey. We move from corruption to incorruption. With this encouragement, Paul ends the chapter, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I was reading recently from the writings of St. Paisios. He illustrates this transition, this change, beautifully. In speaking of the animals around him at the monastery, he writes about a little bird, Olet, who became his friend. He said, when I call for Olet to come, it brings other birds, its friends, that run straight to the food. But Olet comes out of obedience and love. Even when it is hungry, it sits with me for a long time and forgets about food. I have to remind it. And now that the weather is nice and it can find plenty of bugs to eat, when I call it, it still comes out of obedience, even though it is full and not looking for food. all of the animals who come to my kalivi, not only the flying birds, but jackals, rabbits, weasels, turtles, lizards, snakes, are filled with the overflowing of my love, and I am filled when they are filled. And so all of us together, we praise, we bless, and we worship the Lord. When St. Paisios was asked why the animals visit him, he said, "Nowadays, when one approaches God anew by observing his commandments, he is once again vested in divine grace, whereupon he returns to the condition man had been in before the fall, and the animals recognize him again as their master. That is when one can move fearlessly among the wild animals, which then cease to be wild, since their master is now tamed." I love how he ends it by saying, the animals come to him because he, the master, is tamed. Our soul, until we are permeated with the grace of Christ, is wild and corrupt. Christ tames our soul, makes us incorrupt, and we become like those before the fall, before Adam fell. In attaching ourselves to Christ, we are restored to our initial intention to be like God. I'm Father Alexis, and remember, Christ is in our midst.
You've been listening to Daily Orthodox Scriptures with Father Alexis Corey. You can always find us at dailyorthodoxscriptures.com. That's dailyorthodoxscriptures.com. This has been a listener-supported presentation of Ancient Faith Radio.